back here on the Mighty 690 at 7:40. And joining us now on the program, we have David Rowling from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. How are you doing, David?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Good to have you on here. So, hey, it's been a little while since we've had you in studio, but since I've been around, you know, not on vacation or something. So, anyway, what do we have coming up as far as events go?
We have quite a few events coming up the month of March. So spring is always a very busy time of year. And the first event we're going to have is Animal Health Day. And this will be March 7th at the Independence Civic Center. And this is a kind of a traditional event for Montgomery County. It's been going on for a lot of years. So it will start the trade show part, all our sponsors that have booths, that part will start at 5 p.m., but then dinner will be served at 6, and the speakers will start about 6:30. This event is free to attend, but we do ask that you register. And then the speakers for the event, I'll actually be one of the speakers talking about herd health, goat management. And then there will also be a speaker talking about cattle handling facilities. And then also on March 7th, we kick off our homesteading workshop series. So this will be a 10-week series. It will be Thursday evening starting March 7th. All the workshops will start at 6 in the evening. And these workshops will be held at different locations throughout the district. So the first one on March 7th is going to be about fruit tree pest management. And Jesse will be doing that one over in Pittsburgh. And other topics we're covering during this series will be backyard chickens, mushrooms, soap making, canning, fermentation, small-scale livestock, and grazing techniques. So there'll be a lot of different topics. And if you want a list of those topics, you can go to our website, wildcatdistrict.ksu.edu/homesteading series, to register and find a description of those. And then March 12th will be our youth tractor safety training that we hold every year. So this is for any youth that are ages 14 and 15 years old and want to work for a farmer other than family this year, need to take this training to become certified. But this training will be open to youth of all ages. So we'll be covering everything tractor safety related, some general equipment, ATV safety. There's a little bit of livestock handling safety that's covered. We'll also be going to Twin Valley Electric, and they'll be giving a talk on electrical safety, what to do if you happen to hit a power line while you're driving a tractor. And then they have a really cool electrical safety trailer that they do a demonstration with. That's really probably the highlight of the workshop. And then we also have the Makers Fair that will be March 16th at the Research Center in Parsons. So this will be like an open house for Extension, where you can learn a little bit more about what we do. There'll be some demonstrations, some 4-H exhibits or 4-H projects on display. There also will be a couple food trucks there, and then we'll also have some vendors, and I believe these vendors, they'll be selling some stuff, but they'll also kind of be showing you a little bit on how they make their product, and that will be, I believe it is from 9 to 1 p.m. that day.
Okay. Well, good deal. It's, like you said, a ton of events.
Yes.
Very busy, so hey, it's always a fun time of year. And speaking of, you know, fun, exciting things, I mean, this is always a topic near and dear to my heart, is picking up chicks, right? No,
yes.
Getting chicks. So, So it's that time of year where we got some of those chicks in stock, and it's getting exciting. So what do we need to know about this? You know, maybe some reminders for, you know, people who've done it before, and maybe people are new to the whole poultry business.
Yeah. So like you said, it's spring. It's an exciting time of year. I know with the warmer weather we had over the weekend and the beginning of the week, I was starting to, you know, plan my garden, think of all those springtime activities, and chicks is one of them. I know a few stores around have already gotten their chicks in, and other stores are advertising that they'll have theirs in the beginning of March. So a few things you want to keep in mind when you get those chicks. If you're just starting out, of course, those chicks are super cute and they're kind of easy to impulse buy if you see them in the store. But you do want to plan ahead a little bit and think about what type of housing you will have for those chicks. There's a lot of different chicken coop plans and designs out there. You can buy them ready-made, you can build them yourself, you can find plans online of how to build them, so you just want to make sure you'll be able to have a chicken coop that will keep them warm during the winter, and then that they can have shade, and that will still have the ability to have air flow in the summer to help keep them a little bit cooler. And of course, that you can lock them in there to protect them from predators if you're going to let them roam around in your yard during the day, because unfortunately, chickens do have a lot of predators. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is just to do a little bit of planning. But when you first get those chicks, the main things that you need, of course, are feeders, waters. You're going to want to feed those chicks a chick starter or a chick grower, because that will have all the nutrients in it that the chicks need to grow and become strong and healthy chickens. And then the other thing that they're going to need that's really important for chicks is a heat lamp or a brooder to keep them warm, especially on days like today, where this morning I think it said it was 22 degrees at my house.
22 right now, yep.
Yep. So you can mount a heat lamp for them, or I know now they make, so there's of course the bigger traditional style brooders, where if you have a lot of chicks, you can keep them in there. And it's a box that keeps them warm. Or now they make like a little brooder that is plastic. I'm trying to think of how to describe it, but it has legs and it will fit in like a Rubbermaid tub, and the chicks can go under it to get warm. And that's what we've been using when we hatch chicks in classrooms, because the outside of it doesn't get hot like the metal heat lamps.
Oh yeah.
So it's safer to have, and also it fits a lot better. It's kind of easier to put in, like if you have your chicks in a Rubbermaid tub or a water trough, some type of smaller box to make sure they stay nice and warm.
Gotcha. Now, of course, you know, it goes without saying that, yeah, you're not going to just pop them right into the chicken coop or something like that. I mean, if, a lot of folks, maybe they might want to set that brooder up, and maybe they've got a shed, a barn, you know, something where they're, you know, one, going to be safe, and two, kind of out of the elements, because they can't just go outside right away.
Yes, exactly. So, like you mentioned, a shed, a barn, your garage. I know some people do it in maybe like the laundry room or mud room in their house. Whatever your personal preference is, as long as, like you said, they can be out of those elements, have some shelter.
And then again, I don't know about, you know, other things we might have running around, dogs, cats, you know.
Exactly.
I have to kind of think about that when we're bringing in little fluffy things into the
yeah,
house.
And I know, you know, a lot of times you think of dogs as a concern, but actually cats are just as, if not more likely sometimes when those chicks are nice and small, because they're about the size of, you know, a little bird that cats like to chase as well. And then I also wanted to mention, when you go to the store to buy chicks, so usually the chicks are advertised with what breed they are, and then it will say on there either pullets or straight run. So pullets mean that those chicks should be hens. It's never a 100% guarantee, but that's your best bet that those will be hens. Straight run chicks, you're taking your chances if you're going to get hens or roosters. And a lot of times it's kind of like a 50-50 mix in there. I know some people have gotten really lucky getting straight run chicks and ended up with mostly hens. I also know people that the ones they picked out, they ended up being almost all roosters.
Yep. No, that can be a surprise there. Now, typically the pullets have a mark on them, like some dye or whatever. In my experience, I don't know if that's always the case.
Yes, sometimes they do. That's not always the case. Sometimes they just have them completely separated out. That kind of depends on how that store does it or the hatchery they got the chicks from.
Sure. Gotcha. So, you know, as far as, you know, people, they're getting chicks, they're bringing them home and that sort of thing. Obviously, you know, usually wherever you're going, if you're going to a chick day or a farm store, you know, they'll give you a box or whatever to put them in typically.
Right. So yeah.
You don't have to worry about necessarily bringing something to mm-hmm. go when you're actually picking them up.
Yes. A lot of times they'll kind of have this little cardboard, box container, but if you want to take something along just in case they don't have that, a small box or a small crate like a cat carrier.
Sure. Now I know in addition, you know, we do have Easter coming up and people thinking about, oh, a little chick would be the cutest little Easter gift, but the other thing that people have to realize is you really can't just have one chicken. I mean, that just doesn't, they need companionship with each other. I mean,
yes.
You need more than one. Two is the minimum.
Yeah. You're going to want to get a couple, just so, you know, they have buddies, they have friends. They don't like being all alone. It's really not that healthy, I guess you could say, for them to be alone. And the other thing to remember when you're looking at, you know, maybe getting cute chicks or a rabbit or something for Easter is that you are getting an animal, so it is a commitment for that lifetime of the animal to care for it and to have a safe spot for it to live.
Good reminder. All right, well, David, anything else that we should know about, you know, this time of year as far as, you know, getting chicks and starting the chickens out for the year and all that sort of thing?
The other thing, along with getting more than one chick, is if you already have an established flock of chickens, getting a few chicks will also help them when they're bigger and you start to transition them into the rest of your flock. Because some flocks are pretty laid back, but I've also heard of some people that their flocks are a lot more, I guess, not friendly to new additions.
Well, that's a really good reminder, because most of the time we're not going to want to just pop these chicks in with the rest of the flock. That's going to be a recipe for disaster. So we want to wait until they're a little bit older to do that.
Yeah, until they're a little bit older. Kind of like a good basis is once they get bigger and they start to get all of their feathers, you can start transitioning them into your flock.
Gotcha. And of course, you know, that's usually best if you can do it, in my experience. Don't just pop them right into the chicken coop, if you will. You want to kind of do that in more a little neutral space if they're out in the yard or something like that.
Yes, definitely, because they can be protective of their space.
Yeah, it's a whole, the pecking order is real.
Yes.
That is very good. Well, David, anything else we should know about this? And if people do have questions, so where can they find you?
They can reach me at the Independence office. That number is 620-331-2690.
Okay, well, very good. I appreciate you coming on by, David. I think we have a And you should have James joining us here in our next segment of our Green Setup program here on the Mighty 690. Also, doing to remind you, I know we've got lots of places around that you can pick up chicks, but I know we did have a call reminding us here and sharing some more information last week about Cackle Hatchery coming to Chautauqua on March 7th. So for our friends at the Bartlett Co-op, we'll be hosting that. And I'll have a little more information up and coming to see what they'll be bringing, because it's we'll know a few the days ahead of time, what is actually going to be on the way. So we do have news coming up here on KGGF. Back here on the mighty 690 KGGF at 810, we continue our Green Side Up program and joined by Diversified Ag Agent Davin Rowling. Good to have you back on again, Davin.
Thank you.
So we've got, we talked a little bit about, chicks and all that sort of thing here in our last segment. And for this segment, wanted to talk a little about, we've had these just crazy temperature changes, absolutely nuts, going from 82 yesterday to 22 this morning. So, 60 degree temperature delta, that is a little bit nuts. And that's probably not going to be the best thing for some of our sheep and goats this time of year.
Yeah. So those big temperature changes like we just experienced, they can be really hard on us and also animals because, they get used to it being warm or even being cold, being roughly the same temperature. And then, they experience this big temperature swing and their system isn't used to it. And this time of year, it's also a little bit worse because, we have those young animals on the ground. We have kids and lambs on the ground, as well as calves on the ground right now. And these big temperature swings, they're the hardest on young animals and old animals. Those animals that typically don't have as strong of an immune system yet. So you want to be on the lookout for signs that they aren't feeling good, that they may be coming down with pneumonia is usually the most common after a big temperature swing like this, or that pneumonia is trying to set in, that they're getting sick, feeling a little bit under the weather. So sometimes that can be a little bit harder to tell when they're showing those first signs of illness, and you really want to try to be able to catch those first signs because then you can get them treated quickly and hopefully catch it before they get really sick. So with sheep and goats, for example, a couple signs that they're not feeling good is they're not coming up to eat. So of course, this is really for all animals. If they're not coming up to eat, that's a really good indicator that they're not feeling good, that something isn't right there. Another indicator is if it is a adult animal and you know that they're usually right there at the gate waiting for you to feed them and they're really slow to come up to the feeder that day, then that's a good sign that, they're still coming up to eat. They do still have an appetite, but they're not feeling 100%. And that's when you kind of want to check them out, look for other signs of illness. And these signs could be, a cough, raspy breathing. So sometimes they get a little bit of a watery, runny nose just from this quick temperature change. But if it's really like a snotty nose, in combination with a cough or other signs of illness, those are signs that they're not feeling good. Another sign for animals that have that herd mentality, so sheep, goats, and cattle, and I know this is like really the case with sheep and goats, is that they'll start to also separate themselves from the herd. And a lot of times this is they're either going to the shelter and just staying in the shelter. They're not going out to graze with the rest of the herd or coming up to eat with the rest of the herd. Or on mornings like today, they'll find a spot that's maybe out of the wind, but they can soak up some sunshine. That sign that they're kind of isolating themselves because they don't feel well. This is a little, you can't really do this with sheep because of course their tails, are always down or they don't have tails. But with goats, a sign can be that their tail's down. So they will hold their tail down when, it's cold out, to try and stay warm. But, like this afternoon when it gets warmer if they're still kind of standing hunched up with their tail down, that can be a sign that they're not feeling good. Another sign for livestock is if they're kind of holding, if they usually have erect ears, they're not like, you know, a boar goat that has those floppy ears, but if their ears are kind of droopy and they're holding their head kind of down, have a dull kind of sleepy look in their eyes, that's another sign to watch for. So if you see any of these signs or you notice an animal when you go to do chores and you're like, they're not acting quite right. And for sheep and goats, it's a little bit harder to just catch a cow and figure out what's going on. But for sheep and goats, usually it's pretty easy to catch them, to get a hold of them, and then to check their temperature. So a normal temperature for sheep and goats is about 101 to 103. So if it goes above 103, that means they're running a fever. If it drops below 101, that means they're also sick. They're not feeling good. If it gets really low, it means their body is starting to shut down. So I always encourage people to just have just a cheap digital thermometer in their barn or garage, wherever it's handy for them to grab, and just take that animal's temperature, because that will give you or help you get a better idea of what's going on. And then you can make the decision to call your vet and work with them. Or if you call your vet, then you'll have more information to give them.
Sure. And maybe even write down the normal temperature range on the box. I always do that with dogs because I can never remember, you know, what it is.
Yeah. And also to give you an idea of, say an animal was just slow to come up to the feeder and you check their temperature and, it's, you know, maybe just a little on the high side, but it's not a lot over 103, you know, it hasn't hit 104 yet. Then you kind of have an idea of where they're at. So when you check in the next day, you can kind of know if they're getting better or worse or kind of just staying the same, as you work on treating that animal.
No, that's a great reminder here. So anything else we should know as we kind of get into this crazy up and down weather season that our springs can be? Usually not this bad, but they can be.
It's kind of par for the course with Kansas weather to be all over the place. Just a reminder to, you know, as you're going about doing chores, just to... like you always would, watch your livestock, see kind of how they're acting, what's going on. And with kids and lambs, if they're young enough that they're not coming up to the feeder all the time because they're still nursing off their mom for the most part, you can still watch for those signs of them just kind of standing hunched up, looking like they're cold, not running around and jumping like they usually would, and picking them up to see if, you know, their belly feels full, like they're nursing regularly or not, are a couple other signs, mainly just to be aware and kind of keep it in the back of your head.
Sure. Something definitely to note there. Well, Davin, any events you want to hit for us? So once again, for maybe those folks who are joining us who didn't hear earlier in the program, a few of our local events that are coming up.
Yeah, so I'll hit on a couple that we have coming up the soonest, and one of those is Animal Health Night, and that will be March 7th in Independence. We'll be going over herd health for goats and cattle handling facilities. That will be at the Civic Center. Doors will open at 5. The meal and program will start at 6, I believe. And then we also have our homesteading workshop series. The first one of those workshops will also be on March 7th over in Pittsburgh, and it will be on fruit tree pest management. That series will also include 9 other workshops covering everything from backyard chickens, pasture management, soap making, canning, mushrooms, a little bit of everything. And we also have the Makers Fair coming up on March 16th in Parsons at the Research Center there. There'll be food trucks there. I believe Aunt Julie's Donuts is one of them, and there will also be some demonstrations and vendors there as well. So for more information on all of these events, you can check out our Facebook page, Wildcat Extension District, and also our website, which is wildcatdistrict.ksu.edu.
Very good update for us, Dave. Appreciate you coming on by. And we'll have, of course, an early bird edition of Open Line coming up here in just a few. Got a little bit of programming from, of course, the folks from Manhattan, K-State Research and Extension from the statewide radio network. And then we will have Candy Westbrook joining us right around 9:10 here on KGGF.